So I would love to introduce you my friend and mentor, Karen Openshaw from Bolton. Remember, I can't remember the village.
Little Lever.
And anyway, Karen has been a great support to me when I was running the Christian Mindfulness session here. And I don't think without her support, I wouldn't have done it at all, probably. So I've been up for a course with you with Bishop Chris Edmondson, and which was run up in Scarborough House. And that was very informative. And so I hope you enjoy hearing from Karen, as I have in the past as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. I could do with being on a bit of a swivel so I can see you all properly. I'm going to pray. As always happens, about 3 o'clock in the morning, God gave me a prayer. The words just came into my mind and I remembered it as a prayer. So I looked it up. And I think it's really applicable to what we're doing this morning. So, God be in our heads and in our understanding. God be in our eyes and in our looking. God be in our mouths and in our speaking. God be in our hearts and in our thinking. God be at our end and at our departing. Amen. Okay, so lovely introduction from Linda, and Linda and David have been wonderful hosts to us this weekend, and they've really spoiled us, so it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here. All I ask is that you just listen with what's called in mindfulness a kindly curiosity and an openness, and what's the worst that can happen? It's just an hour of your life you're not going to get back. And hopefully you'll go away with something. So don't feel you have to write notes, because I'm going to send this to Linda. I have got a script and I've done it very deliberately because I'm trying to squeeze into an hour what I would normally teach in a weekend. So, you know, no mean achievement, but, and any questions, Linda is very knowledgeable, so she's, you know, she'll be able to help you, I'm sure, and anything that she needs, she knows she can ask me. So I tease my friend and co-author, Bishop Chris Edmondson, about the fact that he's fond of the three-point sermon. But actually, I'm hoping this morning to speak to you about three things. Mindfulness, about what it is to be a mindful Christian, and also to draw upon what you've been learning already from Louise on James. So I've tried to weave that into what I'm doing this morning. So who here other than Linda would say they practice mindfulness of some sort? Yeah? Oh, a few? Lovely. Probably 4 or 5. Has anybody not even heard of it? Well, that's really good. That's really good. But hopefully, I'll cover the broad breadth of that. You know, I'll hopefully not bore those of you that already know all about it and give some information to those that don't. So, what is mindfulness? I'm going to give you the official definition from a man called Jon Kabat-Zinn. And here we go. So mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. And that's Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is the father of mindfulness, who introduced it into healthcare in America in the 1970s. A mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations, and it can be used as a therapeutic technique. It's what's known as secular mindfulness. And he's written some great stuff, and there is a resource sheet that I'll mention. So that is what mindfulness... I prefer to say it's not worrying about tomorrow or stewing on what happened yesterday, because we're here in this moment. So it's about remaining in this moment, whatever that looks like. And for those of you that prefer a pictorial thing, Linda has very kindly passed me one of her drawings. And this, to me, suggests mindfulness. It's about being fully present to ourselves and to whoever we're with. So that is an image of being mindful. Okay. So what is the difference between a person who practices mindfulness and a Christian who practices mindfulness? And I'd just like to make clear that I do believe there is a difference. The distinctive way a Christian practices and experiences mindfulness is different than secular. And here are two definitions that I hope might show why. So the first definition is from, does anybody know the Reverend Sean Lambert? He's a Baptist minister who's also a bit of a mindfulness guru. I've got one of his books with me, A Book of Sparks. But he's written quite a few, and he's now Reverend Dr. Sean Lambert. So he said to me when I asked him recently that mindfulness is our God-given capacity for attention and awareness, whose purpose is to reperceive our own self, God, and others. And a bit like Mr. Kabat-Zinn, it's a little bit wordy, isn't it? So there's my definition. I believe it is about being in the present moment, mindful that we are in the presence of God. For me, that's what it is to be a Christian, that whatever we are doing in this present moment, it's about being mindful that we are doing it in the presence of our good, good God. And the reason I asked for these images is because Linda sent me this, and I just think it's absolutely beautiful, this next image. Isn't it? So it's one thing to be present to somebody else, but to be present with the hand of God on us, that takes everything away from us in terms of our responsibility, and we're doing it in God's strength. So, okay. We're going to hear shortly from the reading from James. So, and I believe it really ties in to what you've been learning from James. In what might be termed secular mindfulness, not that I believe that there is such a thing as a secular sacred divide, because I don't believe there is anywhere that God is not. The focus is on the self. And as I said, in Christian mindfulness, the focus is completely on being present in the presence of God. Linda's going to read the reading for us.
This is James 4, 13 to 17. Boasting about tomorrow. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
Thank you, Linda. I'm going to stand up because I think I'll be more comfortable. There we go. That's better. I can see you all properly now. Okay. So I would say that the behaviour of those being addressed by James is the opposite of mindful. It is mindless. And we can all be guilty of this. He's urging them to be mindful. And he isn't saying that it's wrong to plan ahead. It's when we do so without bringing God into the equation that we make a big mistake. Linked to this, verse 14 is a reminder that no matter how many years we might live, life is short, which further underlines the importance of making the most of each day, being mindful of each day. A real carpe diem attitude, but not carpe diem in the way that the people of James, that James was addressing, were living. And this is where learning to be more mindful helps us to truly be in the present moment. It's called the present for a reason, because it's a gift. And as Christians, we believe it's a gift from God. Being mindful is about remaining in the present moment, not worrying about what might happen or ruminating on what has happened. And again, for the Christian, that's very much about trust in God for the present, for bringing us through what is past, and indeed knowing that he will do that for the future. And as it says in the Bible, do not worry about tomorrow. In Louise's resource sheet, which we're not going to use, but I am going to try to allude to, it says that James is encouraging the early Christians and us to be disciplined in the way we speak and listen. To be a mindful Christian means we are fully present, aware and attentive to those that we are with, to ourselves, that means our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and to God. We need to capture every thought for Christ and to speak to others with gentleness and respect. The practice of mindfulness enables us to do this more effectively as we become less reactive and more responsive. And I definitely don't have time to go into the science behind that. So if you want to know, ask Linda. Okay. So let's move away from James for a moment, and let me state that there is a rich Christian heritage and tradition of mindfulness, whether that's the mindfulness modelled and taught by Jesus 2 millennia ago, or perhaps that lived out by the Desert Fathers and Mothers, or Thomas Merton, or that which is still practised today by Christians in 21st century England. Anyone here use Lexio 365? Quite a few, yeah. It's mindfulness, you know. He's actually starting to refer more to mindfulness in it now, which is really good. And anyone know Richard Rohr? Might allude to him, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Pete Gregg may not call it mindfulness 365, but that's what it is. And it's not always been called mindfulness. It might have been called contemplative prayer, centering prayer, or what one of my favourite Christian mystics called practising the presence of God. Anyone know who I'm referring to? Yes, absolutely. So for those of you that don't know, Brother Lawrence was a monk. Yeah, he was a monk, but he had originally been a soldier, and he practiced the presence of God in absolutely everything he did. And the main thing that he used to do while he was practicing the presence of God, washing up, absolutely, and peeling vegetables. We were talking about this over dinner the other night because David had peeled a lot of vegetables. So he's one of my favourites, and there are lots more examples in this little book. If I hadn't been here this morning, I'd have been running what's a little fresh expression of church that Bill and I lead called Wonder Walkers. And it combines my love for God with my practice of mindfulness and my passion for walking. We meet at the same place each month for a circular walk. I begin with a prayer that we call the Wonder Walkers Prayer. It was one of those, it just came to me, and I was going to do a different prayer every month, but actually it was obviously of the Holy Spirit, because if I'd have tried to do anything better, I don't think I'd have managed it. So it wasn't me. So we go halfway round and we stop at the same point, watching how the seasons change. And I do that really challenging thing of getting a group of people to be absolutely silent. No mean achievement. So we just spend a couple of minutes in silence, and I encourage them to feel their feet on the floor, to feel the wind or whatever on the skin, to look and maybe to close their eyes, and so they lose that sense and can just hear. And it really is absolutely priceless. And people say, oh my word, I'm so relaxed. But we don't do that. We generally don't do that in the course of a day. So then we move on, we carry on the walk. And it's very unapologetically Christian. So I have friends that come, people that have joined, of all faiths and of none. But I start with a prayer that is a prayer in Jesus' name. And it is unapologetically so. And everybody really appreciates that, you know, that for me, that is my church. So, and hopefully theirs too. And we finish at the end with a blessing. And it tends to be a season. My favourite blessing is the Aaronic blessing. So I tend to use that. But if it's, you know, if it's Lent or Easter, then I will use a suitable blessing to bless us. And to get people to just stand and take a couple of minutes to set an intention for the rest of that month for how they can live more mindfully for themselves. But for me as a Christian, the important thing is it's not about ourselves. It's about how that then impacts others in our lives. But I don't think you can become more mindful and not think about your impact on other people. So, yeah. And I just want to take a moment, because the walk is at 10, and my friend Martin, who actually taught me secular mindfulness, is leading it. So I just would love us to all just hold him in prayer now as he blesses everybody towards the close of the walk. So, loving Lord, thank you for Martin. Thank you for him taking that group. And I do pray that you have the right people there, and that conversations would be blessed by you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, so that's a really wonderful thing. And as we walk, I make it known to people that I am there. And if they want to talk, then I'm open to listening. And that if they'd like me to pray. But I always say, you know, would you like me to pray for you? And I've never ever had anyone say no anywhere, to be perfectly honest. I think you've just got to ask the question, haven't you? So James, who is probably the brother of Jesus, was clearly a very practical man.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah. After all, he was the son of a carpenter. He's famously known for saying that faith without works is dead. And I wholeheartedly believe him to be right. As it says in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And my favourite scripture, and what I believe is the scripture that forms my life purpose, is this. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, which Jesus said he came to fulfil in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console the mourners in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. Absolutely beautiful. And I believe that this is the work God has ordained all Christians to do. We all have different ways of manifesting this. We have different ways of bringing this about, but that is the call on all our lives. But let me repeat those words from Ephesians. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. The mindless trap that many Christians fall into is to think they always need to be doing. James says in verse 17, so suppose someone knows the good deeds they should do, but suppose they don't do them. By not doing these good deeds, they sin. He does not mean we need to do everything. Do I need to repeat that? He does not mean we need to do everything. I'm writing a book, another. Actually, it's the first one I was writing, called Loving God, Neighbour and Self. It's an autobiographical... Do you know, I'm going to really struggle saying this now. An autobiographical book about how I've burnt out and become ill, largely because of a complete misconception of the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. If we loved God and our neighbour in the way that we love ourselves, it would often be a pretty poor show. We can't pour from an empty vessel. And if we don't practice self-care in a right way, then we cannot truly be loving. If we treat God's handiwork badly, overworking ourselves and saying yes when the answer should have been no, how many have done that? Show of hands. Absolutely. What happens is we become tired, resentful, and unwell. And that will spill out like poison onto other people, those people that we're commanded to love. I know I've been guilty of that. Haven't I, Bill? In worst case scenarios, it will lead to spiritual burnout. Because what happens is, people can turn their back on God. Because they think, well, if there is a God, and if he loved me, surely I wouldn't be like this. So it's a very real thing, and I've even seen it happen in clergy. If we practice living mindfully, this won't happen. I'm living proof, and still trying, and still... I won't say working at it, because that's the wrong way of putting it. But if we love God with all our heart and soul and mind, we will be in tune with him and know the good deeds that James says we should do. And my hope is that when I finally finish this book and it is published, it will help others to live from a right understanding of this. Let me tell you a little story that I hope might help. I might sit down for this. So, a man's trotting along and he meets God. And God gives him a cart. And he said, I've got this cart for you, and I'd like you to take these three rocks to the top of that mountain. And it's a gorgeous day. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, not ridiculously hot, but not cold, and perfect conditions. So he sets off, and he's trotting along with his cart, and then he meets a neighbour. And the neighbour says, oh, you're going to the top of the mountain. While you're going, do you think you could just... And gives him some more. And then he meets somebody else who gives him some more rocks. And he's halfway up his journey, and of course he's now going uphill. And the cart's getting heavier and heavier. And he begins to berate God and say, you know, why have you given me this? Why would you? And it's raining and it's getting colder and it's dark. And he's getting more and more tired. And eventually he just sits down and he can't do anymore. And he says to God, why would you do this to me? And God just looks at him and says, with love and compassion, I didn't. I gave you three rocks. And this is what we do, isn't it? Every day we think we need to do just a little bit more, whether that's about pleasing people, not letting people down. There's lots and lots of reasons for us doing it. But they're not God's tasks. They're not what God ordained for us. So becoming a mindful Christian helps us to be in touch with what God actually wants for us. Okay. We're going to come, hopefully, to a really nice bit now. a nice relaxing bit for you. So in secular mindfulness, the focus of attention for the practice of meditation is always either on the breath or on the body. Now, as Christians, we know we are God-breathed, and please do, I can't do it today because we just haven't got the time, but there's a beautiful YouTube clip by a guy called Rob Bell. Any of you know Rob Bell? Some. He did it years ago. It's a Numa DVD and it's called Breathe. And it is absolutely beautiful. So do go away and have a look at that. So yeah, we are God-breathed. And the focus on the body? Well, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's creation, God's perfect work of art. So anyone tells you it's secular, just remind them of that. Yeah, we're knit together in our mother's wombs, aren't we? So anybody here a bit fearful about the term meditation? A little bit suspicious, maybe? Don't feel you have to, you know, yep, me. But a lot of Christians are. A lot of Christians are very concerned about the term mindfulness. A vicar that I was working with said, do you think you could use another word? Well, if you read my books, you will understand why I can't use another word, because actually it's about speaking into the context and culture of our times, which is what St. Paul did to the people of Athens. So meditation is not about emptying our minds. Who can take a guess at how many thoughts we have in a day? It's always interesting, this. Any guesses? Do you know what I really love? You can really see the difference in, you know, people's personality typings. Because my very, very laid-back husband said 10,000. And you said a million. I would probably have said a million as well. It's because you've got a nice calm brain, love. The actual answer is probably between about 60 to 80,000 a day, which is enough, isn't it? And it feels like a million some days. And actually, you were nearer. But, you know, it's the reality is our brains are hardwired for negativity. So the vast majority of those thoughts are not positive thoughts. And people tend to, again, we really have not got the time to go into this, but it's so important to observe that what we're actually doing is thinking, because we can end up right down the line and we've run away with a thought. And mindfulness helps us to bring it right back to this moment, this place. And meditation helps with that. Again, my lovely occupational therapist friend over there will at some point, if you ask, fill you in on why. But our brains are subject to something called neuroplasticity. And meditation helps the brain come off its track, come off that one auto track. And all you need to be able to do to meditate is to notice that you're thinking and come back to the source of whatever it is you're meditating on. And that practice is what will change the brain. And I'm going to leave you to the science of it for some other time, Linda. So, when we meditate, we recognize that we're thinking, as I say. We're going to share now a couple of really simple, short Christian meditation practices. And the first one is a breathing practice. I've not got it on the screen because I only put it in just recently. So what I'd really like you to do is to put your feet flat on the ground. Maybe just have your hands resting in your lap. Automatic meditative position, brilliant. And normally, you know, sit as upright as you can, head upright. But I'm not a purist meditator, and I always say, do what you're comfortable with. I tend to do most of my meditations lying down. And close your eyes as I just share this with you. So you can adapt this and do this anywhere. You can literally just take a few moments to draw a breath and draw in your breath and breathe out and watch how it calms you. But the one that I'm going to use is written by a guy called Sheridan Voysey, and it's a specifically Christian breathing meditation. After that, I'm going to go into a second, which is on scripture. And for the third, we're going to do the Jesus Prayer. Don't feel you have to change the rhythm of your breath, but breathing out for slightly longer engages your parasympathetic nervous system. So as you breathe in now, I want you to breathe in the love of God. And as you breathe out, I want you to release anything that is not of God. So, Lord God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive your love. And I release my insecurity. I receive your joy and release my unhappiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your patience and release my impulsiveness. I receive your kindness and release my indifference. I receive your goodness and release my ungodliness. I receive your faithfulness and release my disloyalty. I receive your gentleness and release my severity. I receive your self-control and release my self-indulgence. And I want you to continue to breathe as I pray the words of Psalm 46, verse 10 over you. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. And now I'm going to say the words of the Jesus Prayer.
I'm going to repeat it a few times, and if you'd like to join in, then please feel free to do so. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Some people might also use the word Maranatha, which means come Holy Spirit. And although we're not going to do a body scan this morning, if you did, you could go through the body. Lying down is best. Intentionally thanking God for every part of you. Even and perhaps especially those parts of you that perhaps don't work in the ways that they once did or cause you pain or discomfort. So perhaps before you open your eyes, perhaps rub the palms of your hands together, create a little bit of friction, and then put the closed palm of your hand over your eyes and open your fingers and just gently open your eyes and allow the light to come in. And with my secular mindfulness practices, I encourage them to just give a little massage on the way down. And I learned a very valuable lesson as well, because I'm going to come on to my books in a moment, but this particular book is based on the sessions that I do in a secular organisation. And what I didn't do after we'd done that beautiful little practice or whatever practice we were doing was bring them back round. So they were going back to work or going behind the wheel of a car like this. So it's also really important to just move your bodies a little bit now and just bring yourself back into this space and into the here and now. Because some people relax. So I did it the other day. I was over at one of my clients, and one of the ladies fell asleep. And, you know, so it would have been really wrong to send her out without bringing her back round. So, perfect timing. So here are the publications, and Chris would be really proud of me. If he wasn't a bishop, he'd make a great second-hand car salesman, I think, or book salesman, because he always says to me, don't forget to take the books. So this one is how, as a church, you can, it's called Mindfulness as Mission Gift. I believe the church in this day needs to use mindfulness as a gift, as a mission gift within the church, but also outside of the church. You know, if all we do as a church is pay for a secular mindfulness course to help people with mental health issues, fantastic. We're doing what God wants us to do. But there's like an A to Z of how you can potentially involve them and show them the love of Christ. So that's this one. And this one, as I just said, it came quickly off the back of that one. And it's written by Chris and I again, but we've got quite a few people from the world of Christian mindfulness who've very kindly written for us. And it's literally start each day with a prayer that I'm going to end with today. We can use it alone or with other Christians. So then there's some scripture, whereas in a secular setting, I would probably talk about some issue of mental health. But here, it's just providing the evidence that the Bible is filled with mindful scripture. There's a reflection on that scripture, an action for how to be mindful, a thought, and then a prayer, a final prayer. And then some space for those of us who are more creative than others to write or draw or just put your thoughts. So, yep, and there are lots of books you can read about mindfulness and Christianity. And for those that don't buy a book, I have put a resource sheet there. So I'm not like Chris. I'm not insisting you buy my book before you get any help here. There is a sheet. But if anyone suggests to you it's not Christian, I would say, tell them about this man. So these two books are written by Mark Williams and Danny Penman. So you're welcome to have a look afterwards, but they are on that resource list. Mark Williams, along with others, brought mindfulness-based cognitive therapy into Britain. He is an Oxford professor. He set up the Oxford Mindfulness Centre, and he's also an Anglican priest. So he's my go-to. I'm like, really? You don't think it is? He would say otherwise. I'm going to have a little bit of fun with you now. So I know you feel like you know Bishop Chris, even though you've not actually met him. He has got a very mischievous sense of humour. And before I got him into mindfulness, he bought me this as a Christmas gift. The Ladybird Book of Mindfulness. So here we go. Alison has been staring at this beautiful tree for 5 hours. She was meant to be in the office. Tomorrow she will be fired. In this way, mindfulness will have solved her work-related stress. Yeah. I did mindfulness for a group of teachers, and I'd got all these sort of publications out that, you know, would teach them about mindfulness. They're all like this. Oh, let's have another look at this book. So you're welcome to have a look afterwards. There's lots of very silly things in there, but fun. Yeah. And I think, so here's a couple of ideas as well. So there's the Lectio 365 app. I'm part of something called Mindful Church. It's an online church. It's actually finished for summer, but it will start up again in September. It's on Facebook, but there's also a website, info@christianmindfulness. And it's at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And I lead some of the sessions, but it's run by a guy called Richard Johnston. And there's an inspirational man that does some of the sessions. He's called Paul Bain. And for anybody that does have Facebook, he has, it's called Mindful Christianity Today. And he just posts loads and loads of really inspirational quotes and inspirational pictures and some fun stuff. And he's written a really good book as well called In the Presence of Jesus. And I mentioned earlier Father Richard Raw. I get emails every day from the Centre for Action and Contemplation. He very much is, for me, a mindful Christian. So, and as I say, I can send this to Linda so you can have all of this information. Okay. I'm going to finish my bit and then I'm open to some questions. But I'm going to finish with a prayer from this book. In Buddhist or secular mindfulness, there is a thing called the kindness metta, which goes like this. May I be free from inner and outer danger and harm. May I be safe and protected. May I be free of mental suffering or distress. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be strong. And may I be able to live in this world happily, peacefully, joyfully, and with ease. And I finish my secular sessions with this, and I always say, if you have a faith, then this is a prayer, and I do have a faith, I'm a Christian. But if not, then it's a mantra to live by. And I suggest to them that they put you in, may you be free from, or better still, and nobody's come back to me on this ever, if you put the name of a person with whom you have a difficult relationship into that space, it will adjust how you feel about that person. So it goes back to what I said earlier about loving God, neighbour and self. You know, we're commanded to love, not to like. But actually, if you practice for a month loving, then eventually it will switch something in you, even if it doesn't switch it in them. But I can almost guarantee that the way you interact with them will then bring about a switch in them. So, but I wanted to make it specifically Christian, and I love prayer. So I wrote a prayer based on that. And a mentor, a fabulous woman who runs a Fresh Expression of Church, and she asked me to go to her church, and I sent her through what I was going to do. And she said to me, so graciously, she said it so beautifully and graciously, Karen, I'm just thinking that some of the words that you use, some of my people might not understand it. And I thought, wow, that is fantastic, because the whole idea of all this is that we do it so that people understand. So I said, can you rewrite my prayer with words that you believe anybody can engage with? So this is mine and Julie's prayer. Loving God, we live in a broken world, but we know that you want good things for us, your children. Thank you for your mindfulness of us. We pray that you would keep us safe, protecting us from inner and outer danger and harm. Free us from mental suffering or distress. Help us to be aware of our thoughts and to give them to you. Renew our mental health and physical strength each morning as you've promised. Help us to live out our lives loving you, our neighbours, and ourselves. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit and shine through us to your glory. In all circumstances, make us joy-filled people of peace, always mindful of your presence in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.